Okay, today we're going to talk about Lifnei Iver and different instances of how when Lifnei Iver comes up practically in our lives and how it's mutter or potentially usser and things that we do. So there's a couple of different instances that come up. One, the classic one, that's a major machlokas poskim, as we'll see, is about inviting guests that are going to drive on Shabbos, whether it's to your house for a meal or it's to your house for, it's to a simcha in shul, to a bris on Shabbos, to, you know, the Seder on Yontif, whatever it may be. If you know a not religious Jew is going to drive to you, giving food to someone who you know is not going to make a bracha, saying Divrei Torah to someone who didn't say Birchas HaTorah. One that comes up very often in Eretz Yisrael is hiring someone to come pick you up after Shabbos, calling a taxi, something like that, where they're a Machal Shabbos, and therefore you calling is going to cause them to drive on Shabbos. So are these mutter? So one that is the most fascinating to me, before we even get into it, is it again, I didn't hear it from his mouth, and maybe Rav Eisenstein could confirm, but I saw it quoted from Rav Nevensol that he says you're not allowed to step into the street on Shabbos because you would, if you're going to cause the car to stop, especially in Eretz Yisrael, where some of the drivers are Jewish, so you just stepping into the street is going to cause them to stop. So that's an Isser of Lifnei Iver. So, you know, you wouldn't even think of that necessarily until you hear it. You know, it's not so common around here to face that, but in other areas in Eretz Yisrael, it's definitely more common, and it's something that we need to deal with. In terms of inviting people to drive, to come to your house on Shabbos, so we'll start with the most machmirim, and then we'll try and find some heterim. So Moshe Feinstein, in Chuvas Or HaChaim, Chelek Aleph, Simen Tzadi Tes, says you're not allowed to invite people to shul if they're going to drive on Shabbos. It's Aser Mishum Lifnei Iver, doesn't give any heterim. Rav Soloveitchik is quoted by multiple people. In Divrei HaRav, Rav Schechter quotes from Rabbi Neil Turk that he said that he asked this question. He said it's one of the most difficult situations that he finds himself in the Rabbanus, is inviting Balabatim to come eat by him on Shabbos because he thinks it's going to be mashpia on them and it's going to help with Kiruv, and so how could it not be mutter? And Rav Soloveitchik said, no, it's usser. He answered immediately. He said, there's no shaila. It's pashut that it's usser. V'ein bazeh al ma ledaber. So we'll see that that's not so pashut, but at least according to the Rav, it's pashut. It's Rabbi David. He said also he heard this from Rav Soloveitchik. Nevensol also says you're not allowed to invite someone to a bris if you know that they're going to drive on Shabbos. Says it in his Mishnah Berurah, and Rabbi David said he heard it from him as well. And Rav Vosner also writes in Cheleches Simen Kuf Samech Hey that if you know they're going to drive, then you can't invite them as well. So that's a lot of Osrim that we're up against. But there are Heterim, and obviously, you know, you'd ask whoever your posek is, or you know, if you feel like one of these shitas fits well with your view of the Torah in general. But we should just be aware that sometimes people think that, well, if it's going to be makariv them, so it must be okay. I'm sure, you know, Rav Vosner and Rav Soloveitchik were aware of the potential to be makariv people, and yet they still felt that it was usser. So how could it potentially be mutter? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah discusses the Isser of Lifnei Iver, and it seems to imply that there's a potential difference between Chad Eber Denayer and Trey Eber Denayer. Is it that they could have done the Aveira without me, or they couldn't do the Aveira without me? They're on the other side of the river, or they're on the same side of the river as me. So I have the not kosher piece of meat, but they're standing right next to me. So if they wanted, they could get it on their own, they could do it without me. Or are they on the other side, and if it weren't for me being able to give them the piece of meat, so then they wouldn't be able to get it. So it seems like the Gemara says that there is a difference between these two cases. So there's potential heter already. If they were able to do it on their own, so then if this is an isser that they were going to do on their own anyway, so then it would seem like there's room to be makil. So we assume that most people that you're inviting to your house that are going to drive to your house on Shabbos were probably going to be driving anyway. You know, if they weren't driving to your house, so they'd be driving somewhere else. Maybe they'd be driving to their own shul. I don't know, but they're driving anyway. So that's going to be called Chad Eber Denahar. They would be able to do it without me. So is that really going to be mutter? So the Tosos and the Rush say that this chiluk is true, but nevertheless, it's still usser derabanan. It's still usser derabanan, even if they could do it without me. So this language will differentiate. We'll call it Lifnei Iver, which would be if they can't do it without me, versus Misayeya, where I'm just helping them do the Aveira, but they would would be able to do it even without me helping them. So we'll still say it's Asr Durabanan. So we have Machlokas Rishonim. Is it still Asr Durabanan? So how do we paskin Lamaisa? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Omerim Hada Asr Limkor Lahem Dvarim Hashayachim Labodasim Hainu Dafkeim Ein Lahem Acherim Kayotze Bo O Shalo Yuchle Liknos B'Makom Acher. Only if they couldn't get it without me. Avalim Yicholim Liknos B'Makom Acher, but they could get it without me. Mutter Limkor Lahem Kol Davar. Then I'm allowed to sell them whatever I want. V'yesh Machmirim. But there are some who are machmir even on this. Okay, so the language of the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah comments on that. And a baal nefesh should be machmir. So it seems like the minug is if they could do it without you, it's going to be mutter. But a baal nefesh should be machmir. What's the definition of a baal nefesh? So that gets into general discussions of how we define a baal nefesh. I think I once heard Rav Schechter quote Rav Amital as saying something to the effect of, you know, when I was in yeshiva, nobody considered themselves Balei Nefesh, but now everybody considers themselves Balei Nefesh. So I don't know how you would define a Balei Nefesh, but Amaisa, that's what it says. And Rav Asher Weiss points this out. He says from the Ramah, we see that Nagu Lahaka, but a Balei Nefesh should be Machmir. So since Me'ikar Adin, it's going to be Mutter. So any time that you have would seem to have a real reason to be Me'ikil, and because you want to have the potential to be makarev them, so then you have the Ramah to rely on that. Really, a baal nefesh should be machmir, but if it's only because a baal nefesh should be machmir, so then when we have other factors that are in the way, so then we could take that into account. Again, should we ourselves be nachriya that? Not necessarily sure, but we could see how a posek would be able to, you know, as we see that halacha in general isn't so clear, it's not always so pashut that it's black and white. So when you're taking different factors into account, this would be another factor that we'd be able to take into account. So that's one possible heter. But what if we don't want to rely on that? We want to be balei nefesh, let's say. So is there anything else? So the Shach writes that this iser derabban of misayeya doesn't apply regarding a mummer, someone who's thrown off religion entirely. It's a general discussion, though, if our not religious Jews are considered mummers. Sometimes it seems like we consider them mummers when it will be helpful in certain areas, and then we'll consider them tinoch and nishpas when it's helpful in certain areas, but it's best if we try and define them in one way. So since in general, I think we usually go with the tinoch and nishpa approach, that it's not that they've actively thrown it off, it's just that you can't expect them to know any better because of the surroundings that they were raised in. So then we wouldn't necessarily be able to rely on this shach. However, the Dalgam Rebava takes it a step further. And the Dalgam Rebava says it's not limited to a mummer. Rather, anyone who is doing an Avera B'mezid, there is no Isser of Misayaya, because there is no Chiv to stop him from doing this Avera if he is doing it B'mezid. That is the heter of the Dalgal Mervava. So there's a few different explanations of this heter. The Amin Nezer gives an explanation, the Maral gives an explanation, but either way, in the Berelacha also, they say that the mitzvah of Tochacha doesn't necessarily apply in this case, and if you know that he's not going to listen anyway. Either way, we have this second heter. So we have the Ramah who first says anytime that it's going to be, he could do it without you. So then that's going to be mutar me'ikar din, but a baal nefesh should be machmir. And now we have this added heter of the Dalgam Rebava, that if it's someone who's doing an avera b'mezid, so then there's no iser of lifnei iver durabana, no iser of misayaya in that case. I heard of Schechter quote this heter in certain situations, with Sobolovsky quoted this as well. However, the Magen Avram in Simen Shin Mem Zayin, Siv Katan Dalid, says that you should be machmir. He's machmir even by a mummer, even by an Isser Durabanan. And Rav Asher Weiss says he can't imagine being Mekil based on the Dalgam Rebava. This is like another one of those eye-opening things for me, because as I pointed out to Rav Eisenstein many times, sometimes when you grow up in a certain area and you learn in a certain yeshiva and there are certain things that you just take for granted as being the Pashat Halacha. So I always thought that this Dalgam Rebava was Pashat, that everybody relied on it, because I heard it from Rav Schechter, I heard it from Sobolovsky. Then when I was learning this tshuva from Rav Asher Weiss, and he was like, how is it possible that you could be Mako based on it? Especially when you have the Magen Avram going against it. So again, it's important to be aware that even though some things seem, you might be aware of certain heterim, to be aware that not everyone necessarily holds of it. But those are two possible heterim. What else can we rely on in such a situation? So the Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to give food to someone that didn't wash because of lifnei iver. Elsewhere in Siman Kuf Samech Tes, he says you shouldn't give food to someone that you know is not going to make a bracha. But some are mekel if you're giving it b'toras tzedaka. And the Magen Avraham says that it's dafka b'netilas yadayim to take it b'shash and nosin yado kedei lechol over mishum lifnei iver. Because when you give it to him, he's now violating the aveira. But bracha b'shash and nasno eino over v'imachar kach lo yivarech ma'aleinu lasos. So he says, the Magen Avraham seems to say, and this is how the Binyan Sion and the Ksav Sofer explain it, that you only violate lifnei iver if the aveira is going to occur immediately. I'm not sure what the svara is behind it. It could be, you know, is when you are doing that aveira, is he when you're helping him, is he vadai going to perform the aveira? If it's a suffik, so maybe it would be okay. Maybe that's why, because it's suffik lifnei iver. I assume it's not grumma of any sort. But either way, that is the heter that the Magen Avraham brings. That if the Avera is not going to be performed immediately, so then it's going to be okay. So that's another potential kula. The major kula that is quoted by many is the kula of Michshol Kal versus Michshol Chamor. Meaning, if you are faced with two Averas that are going to occur, two negatives that are going to occur, so we would say that you'll take the one that is the lesser Avera over the greater Avera. So in our case, the way that it comes up, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted by many as giving this heter. If you have someone who comes to your house, you have a worker who comes to your house, something of that sort, and he's not religious, and you know he's not going to make a bracha, so you want to give him water because it's very hot outside. And if you don't give him water, so he's going to look at you and say, look at this religious Jew, he doesn't care about me that he's not providing me with water. So on the one hand, you're going to violate the Isser of Lifnei Iver because you're giving him water and he's not going to make a bracha on it. But on the other hand, by you not giving him water, you are now going to cause a tremendous chilul Hashem, because he's going to say that, look at these religious Jews, they're such bad people. So that's Michshol Kal versus Michshol Chamor. And therefore he says, in such a situation, you'd be able to provide the person with water. It's written in a tshuva, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach wrote this to Akir Vishiva also regarding invitations, inviting people to beginner services or something of that nature. And he says that as long as you offer them a place to sleep over, then it's going to be okay. And he compares it to this concept of trying to make sure that if you don't invite them, and it's going to be, if you have a family member or something like that you don't invite to a simcha, and they're going to be so offended and say, ugh, look, these religious Jews, they cut me off, which I assume is much more common with a lot of Balei Tshuva, where some members of the family became Balei Tshuva, some didn't. So then that type of cheshbon is going to be allowed to be made. Now again, should an individual make that cheshbon on their own? Not necessarily, but it's definitely a heter that poskim are aware of, and you could take into account. He uses this language of gam yavoli de kas v'sina al kol ha'ochem b'derech ha'torah. So then for sure you should give them food. So I had this shaila that came up l'maisa that a guy asked me when everyone was being mocked on the corona rules and people were in quarantine, and he said that his sister was in quarantine and he had to bring her food, and he knew that she wasn't going to be making a bracha on the food that he would bring her. She couldn't get food unless he brought it to her. I guess the parents weren't home, or the parents asked him to be the one that was in charge of providing her with the food. So he said, am I allowed to provide her with the food if I know she's not going to be making a bracha on it? So I think I asked Rabbi David at the time, in Shraga, and he said that, you know, you could rely on this heter of Shlomo Zalman, that besides for the fact that she'll starve and die if she doesn't get food. But, you know, he knows that, she knows here, her brother went to yeshiva and flipped out, and she already looks at him as like looking down on her. And now, if he doesn't provide her with food because she's not going to make a bracha, so then it's not going to be so good. One heter that you have, not a heter, but one eitzah, again, depending on the situation, is saying to someone, you know, make a bracha. Again, you have to know what the, you know, repeat after me, and then they're going to look at you and think that, you know, you're still trying to force your religion on me. Because when it comes to the having the driver come, so one of the heterim that people mention is saying, you know, Shavua Tov to the driver, hoping that somehow that will count as his havdalah or something of that nature. But he already drove to you, so specifically for you. So it's unclear if that really helps. I don't remember it so well, but my daven by Rav Gedalia Hochberg and Rav Moshe Machlis was giving a shiur, it was probably 2 years ago now, and he spoke about this, and he didn't come out with a heter for the taxis. He quoted all the heterim that people come up with, and he was proving why they're all wrong, and Rav Gedalia was there, and Rav Gedalia was like, yeah, not push it. So avoid ordering a taxi for right after Shabbos, unless, I guess, you really need to. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky brought him Chitzas Rabbeinu, was asked about sending food to a Jew who won't make a bracha, and he said the same thing, that it's mutter otherwise, because he said, not because of this, but he said, if he's going to be eating non-kosher food, so at least he's now eating kosher, meaning the same cheshbon of Mishal Kal versus Mishal Chamer. He's not going to make a bracha, yeah, but better for him to eat food without making a bracha than to eat trey fruit. Lamaisa, Rav Schechter, always says that there's three requirements in order to be able to invite someone. They have to be driving anyway. There has to be some type of, you know, potential benefit of maybe they will be makari of them, and you have to offer accommodations. So the maybe you'll be makari of them helps when it's doing kiruv. The question is, what if you're just inviting them for a family simcha because you don't want them to be offended? So is that enough of a toelis also? Do you now need this heter of Shlomo Zalman that they'll hate you otherwise? So there's a lot of different factors that go into these shilas. Rav Asher Weiss, when he was talking about giving food to someone who won't make a bracha, he quotes Shlomo Zalman Orbach that you're saving them from sinning. But he says, no, this isn't called a hatzalah. Because as long as the Avera isn't mamish in front of you, it's not called a Hatzalah. He says that you're not actually saving them from doing the Avera. He was Mako for a different reason, but he said this isn't actually called saving him from doing an Avera. The Sefer Avnei Yashva brings from the Mishnah Berurah that you can be Machal Shabbos Derabbanan to save your daughter who's being taken captive because you can do a lesser Avera to prevent a greater Avera. So he says that inviting them is Iser Derabbanan, but it prevents future Averas. So that's another heter. You're preventing future Averas if you're Makariv them, if they end up being from. So it's like Chalas Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yitishma Shabbos Asarbe. Now, how much of a Vaday do you need on that? But Exactly. What does the chance have to be? You know, you hear these stories of like, you know, and they spent a Shabbos, one Shabbos, and it just changed their lives. But how often does that happen? And it's unclear. So that's what he brings as a heter. There was someone that asked Rav Shlomo Zalman Rav Moshe Sternbach about a waiter, you know, working in a restaurant and you're giving the people food, and if you know they're not going to make brachas, so are you allowed to do that? So he said that a restaurant should put up a sign that says, don't forget to make a bracha. So maybe that's why they put on all the snacks, you know, the hashgafas put on the snacks, what the bracha is, so that they're yotzei they had to, I don't know, but it's an interesting ha'ara that we probably didn't think of. Rav Sternbach has a tremendous chiddush himself, elsewhere. That was in one of the later chalakim in Chalak Hey, but in Chalak Aleph, Rav Sternbach has a tremendous heter in Lifnei Iver, where he says that it's not called Lifnei Iver if you're intending to help them. Because it's only Lifnei Iver if you're trying to hurt them, because Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Michshol. But if it's not called a michshol because I'm trying to help them, so it's not called a michshol. By definition, it's not called a michshol. It says a blind person, you're causing a blind person to fall. But if your kavana is for the good, so then that's not called a machshil. It's like a doctor who does surgery. No one's going to say that the doctor is over on chovel b'chaveiro because he's hurting him when he's doing surgery to him because his intention is for good. So if your goal is to get someone on the derech, and in the process, you cause them to be machal Shabbos, there's no isur of lifnei either. It's a tremendous chiddush that Rav Sternbach has. But Rav Asher Weiss says it as well. Rav Asher Weiss, in the context of, I don't remember what it's in the context of, but he quotes this, and then he relates it to a different shiloh, which I never thought of. I guess I did think of it, and then I forgot about it, and then I thought of it this year, and I started asking around. But about teaching Torah to someone who doesn't make Birchas HaTorah. You can't assume that every guy that comes to Torah Shraga, I'm privileged to teach, knows to make Birchas HaTorah beforehand. And so how are you able to teach them at the beginning of the year that if you know that they didn't make a Birchas HaTorah? So Rav Asher Weiss has this heter that he says, since your intention is to teach them Divrei Torah, how could you say that you're violating Lifnei Iver? He says in the context of, you know, you're in the taxi and the taxi driver wants you to tell them avort. So they probably didn't say Birchas HaTorah first. So he says that that's not called Lifnei Iver, because your intention is to help them. Shlomo Zalman Orbach this is because of this vort, you have another machlokes, which Shlomo Zalman writes in Mincha Shlomo, Simon Lamed Hey, Siv Gimel, that helping someone be Megayer, if you know that they're not going to keep mitzvos, you're violating Lifnei Iver, which, again, how much do you have to know? The likelihood of them being able to keep all the mitzvos and not violate averus is probably very small, because we consider ourselves very from Jews and we all do averus. So you're bringing someone in to the Jewish people who, when they weren't Jewish, so, okay, Zion mitzvos, okay. And how bad is it for them? But now you're bringing them in, and now you're putting a huge onus on them, and you're causing, and you know that they're not going to keep all of halacha. So Shlomo Zalman says that that's aser mishum lifnei iver. Rav Asher Weiss says no, because becoming a Jew is a zechus. So since you can't call that a michshol, and that will have tremendous nafkaminas when it comes to being megayer geir. I remember this story from when I was Shana Aleph. The rabbi of my shul told me that he stopped and being involved in geiros because he had an instance once where he helped be megayer someone, and then 3 months down the line they already gave everything up, and he felt such a responsibility that here was a person who in Shamayim, if they would have remained not Jewish, they would have been fine, and now, you know, because they're Jewish and every day for the rest of their lives they're violating averas, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold them responsible, and he felt responsible for it. So that's, you know, as lifnei iver as it gets, if we really hold that would be the definition of it. So you know, important to be aware of that. So again, lots of different instances. We have lots of different potential heterim in each of these instances that it's important to be aware of. You know, chad ever dinar versus trey ever dinari, and is the person going to be doing it aver anyway? And is this really called a michshol? And we have to weigh the different priorities when it comes to what aver are they going to do this way? What are they going to do it that way? But it's just important to be aware that there, you know, in these shilas that we thought would be so pashut, of course you can invite someone over. It's kiruv, and there's potential to lead them down the line. But you know, big rebbeim, Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik, that we will quote on halachas all the time. You know, asserted black and white that you wouldn't be able to invite them in such situations. So it's important to be aware of these things. One other issue that's not really necessarily related to lifnei iver, but it's important to be aware of, and this will finish, is having by the Seder, it comes up with inviting non-Jews over for the Seder. That it's an issue to have it not. You can't have a non-Jew over at the Seder because you're not allowed to have non-Jews over on Yontif, because you're not allowed to cook for them, and then we have a chashash that you might add and you might cook for them. So the question is, how would you be able to have a potential ger experience a Seder? So I remember we were discussing this in YU with Shechter, Sobolowski, and Rulig, and the only heter they came up with was that if someone the person can't know that they're coming. You can't know. So you'd have to just have an open invitation that anybody that wants to show up at your door would be able to, and then you're really Mekayim, called Dichlan Yeh Sevi Yechol, so you kill two birds with one stone. All right.